Hello and welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping you had a great Monday. Looking forward to a good Tuesday. It is the Tuesday, May 5th edition of the podcast. It is Cinco de Mayo. No, that's not a Mexican holiday celebrating the wonders of mayonnaise. Actually, I think the Japanese have the market cornered on celebrating mayonnaise. And no, that's not a joke. That's the truth. Just go look at how enamored the Japanese people are with mayonnaise. And it's different in Japan than it is here. But I digress. To celebrate Cinco de Mayo, here's a Mexican word for the day, nacho. The word is nacho, N-A-C-H-O, nacho, as in Hillary Clinton is nacho president. I hope you're having a good day so far, wherever and whenever you may be listening. It is, it looks like a decent day in our neighborhood. We have some thunderstorms predicted for the day. It's that time of the year, switching between seasons and spring rolling in and the weather beating us into submission as it does. That's how it is, especially here in the sunny Southlands. It's not always sunny. We have thunderstorms, we have tornadoes, we have hailstorms. It's the next thing you know, I mean, it's pestilence from all corners. I mean, what's next? Oh, come on. It's the bees were yesterday. That's yesterday's story. But it's still all over the place. Have you noticed the story about the bees? The murder bees, the murder hornets. It's everywhere. Murder hornets. Yeah, well, such is life. I mean, and such, I must say, is nature. That's the nature of things. We live in a world where not everything is under our control. And there are those who would prefer to kill off humanity and let nature have its course. And a lot of those people are behind the man-made climate change movement. And then there are those who would like to just pave the planet. So I'm somewhere in between. I'm looking over my list of stories for today. And it's a short list. Usually it's a long list, but it's a short list because yesterday was kind of a busy day. Jane, my sweet wife, was off work yesterday. And we ran errands. And when I say ran, we ran errands. We were all over the county, going from little town to little town, accomplishing things, looking for parts for my riding lawnmower that's on the fritz. That's another story. Maybe I'll get into it later in the hour. I don't have time right now, but there were some pulleys on the mower deck that were, the bearings were in bad shape, so I went to get those. That's about $40 right there. It's about $40 worth of, actually $47 for two pulleys. I think I might go buy a push mower, but then that whole thing fell apart and I'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. And then where else did we go? There was one town we went looking for pulleys and they weren't there, but we bought other things there. And then we went another half hour away and found a place that had the pulleys. And then we went another 20 minutes or so away from there and drop something off at the UPS store to send back to Amazon, and then we grabbed a bite to each. And by the way, Whataburger, can I just ask you a quick question, Whataburger? Don't get me wrong, I love your stuff. I mean, if you don't have Whataburgers where you are, I'm telling you, some good stuff, but I still prefer In-N-Out Burger. But the Whataburger, wow, I love your stuff. Please don't get me wrong, but could you have a size between the dinner platter sized regular Whataburger, which you can get with multiple patties, by the way. My chest is tightening and my arteries are hardening just thinking about it. Can you have I'm not kidding. This burger is like 7 to 8 inches across. It's a huge hamburger. And then there's the Whataburger Jr., which is, it looks like it's about half again the size of a Crystal or a White Castle. Could you have something between that? Because when I eat the big Whataburger, I feel like I'm never moving again. And then the little one is like, can I get three more? I mean, this just, could you have a size between? Anyway, we did that for lunch. And then we progressed onward. One of the things I was going to do yesterday was to look to see about getting a crack in the exhaust manifold in the flex welded up, but they were covered up yesterday. And I decided, you know, even if they can do it today, they're probably going to want me to leave it. So I think I'll wait and do that and go someday. I can go early in the morning. And so that's put on the back burner. What else was there yesterday? That was about it. Aside from me out in the heat yesterday, manhandling that big lawnmower around, and then finding out that, no, I'm not going to be able to fix it because there's an oil leak that's getting one of the belts wet and it's slipping. And that's why the mower won't move, is that the belt is oily. And so that means my buddy Mike comes into the picture and he's going to have to pull the motor and find out why it's leaking. And because that's above my pay grade, can't do that. Now, let's see here. I think I have time. I believe I have time to dig into this. I want to do this before we go on anywhere else, because it is a sign of the times. I posted this to my personal Facebook page the other day. I believe I posted it to the podcast page. But a liberal friend of mine posted this particular... It was a Twitter post, a tweet that someone whose name has been scratched out posted on Twitter, and it's being passed around by progressives, your liberal friends. You may have seen it. And it says as follows: I'm confused. You say it's your right to protest, but you get angry when Kaepernick takes a knee. You say your body is your own, but you get angry at a woman who demands the same. You are against abortion, saying every life is precious, yet you are willing to sacrifice your parents and grandparents for the economy. You claim coronavirus is fake, yet you wear a mask, gown, and gloves. You say health care is a privilege, but you want your COVID-19 hospitalization covered. You say socialism is bad, yet your hand is out for a stimulus check, unemployment benefits, and you wait in line at a food bank. What you say confuses me. Forgive me if I no longer care what you say. Well, I saw that and I thought, wow, this is... Well, it's typical progressivism, it's projection, and it's completely and totally wrong. And so what I posted in response was, what some people are willing to believe still amazes me. This little jewel's been making the rounds on social media, maybe you've seen it. Well, thankfully, I'm not confused. Allow me to explain. Yes, American citizens have the right to protest. It is protected by our Constitution. Nobody is angry about Colin Kaepernick taking a knee in protest because we understand our constitutional rights. We are angered by the juvenile self-righteous disrespect for everything our nation's flag and our national anthem represent when used as a prop for such a protest. Go ahead and protest whatever you wish. But remember that you are going to offend some regardless of what you protest, especially if your protest is wrapped in insults to something they hold dear. Next, no one is angry at women demanding anything, unless they're demanding something which is, to any sane and thinking person, a violent solution to a problem they themselves created by poor judgment, bad choices, and risky behavior. Yes, every life is precious, so we are against the murder of the innocent unborn for the sake of convenience. And please spare us the rape and incest argument. Almost all abortions are elective and performed to eliminate the inconvenience of pregnancy caused by the aforementioned poor judgment, bad choices, and risky behavior. No sane thinking person has proposed sacrificing our parents and grandparents for the economy. That is a freakish scenario born in the fevered minds of progressives, who totally disrespect the wisdom of the elderly when the elderly try to warn them about the folly of progressive ideas and how they've turned out in world history. In fact, we've been proposing that we protect our precious elder citizens by keeping them safe in home isolation while the rest of us with stronger immune systems take the chances to build herd immunity so we can provide them with the benefits of our risks while we get our economy back on its feet again. That, in case you missed it, in case you missed the point, is the exact opposite of what your fevered mind believes. Absolutely no one you're accusing has claimed that coronavirus is fake. Not even your deeply despised President Donald Trump. He said the Democrat outcry against his measures to protect Americans was more political fakery, not the virus. He actually closed off travel from the epicenter of the virus to protect Americans. and the Democrats in politics and the media accused him of racism for it. They were more concerned with finding ways to damage him than they were of protecting you. Those of us wearing masks are doing so because progressive politicians have passed laws requiring us to do so. You see, we're law-abiding people, so we obey the laws even when they're based on political fantasy rather than reality. It's inconvenient, but it's more inconvenient to pay fines and do jail time, especially if your job has vanished because of those same politicians. Nobody has said healthcare is a privilege. Healthcare is a product and or service delivered for a price. If we're paying for healthcare coverage, it is completely reasonable to expect that coverage to include treatment for COVID-19, just as we would be covered for any other viral infection. This is called rational thinking. Yes, socialism is bad. It always has been and always will be bad. Every nation which has experimented with socialism has suffered greatly for it. The most recent glaring example of this is Venezuela, where democratic socialism was sold to the people as a way for everyone to share fairly in the great wealth produced by their oil industry, and where the people now are fleeing their country for food and work because the incompetent socialists who took over their once thriving oil industry ran it aground and destroyed their economy. And those remaining who protest their government end up looking down the barrels of military guns. None of us has had our hands out for a stimulus check. Those were the idea of politicians who sent them out to us. FYI, there is no such thing as government money. Every penny of those checks was our own money, taken from our wages by the government. So excuse us if we accept it. The same applies to unemployment benefits. As for food banks, it is troubling that you would prefer families starve. Some people can't work to provide for their families due to government locking our economy down. Of course they're going to accept help when they need it, because they have proper priorities and won't allow their children to starve. It isn't their fault that they can't afford groceries. If the fault for that belongs to anyone, it belongs to the politicians who believe they know better than working people what is best for them, and the people who vote for those politicians, like you. Hopefully, that clears things up for you. And that is how I respond when a liberal meme rubs me the wrong way. Because, as I illustrated in my response, every point is wrong. Every point is backwards. Every point is projection. Every point is stupidity. And I see this not just now and then. I see it every day, multiple times per day. Progressives don't have just a loose grip on reality. They have an almost non-existent grip on reality. It is them who claims these things about healthcare. They say healthcare is a right. And then they say that we say healthcare is a privilege. And neither one of those things is true. Healthcare is not a right. Healthcare is a personal responsibility. You have a personal responsibility to take care of yourself and your loved ones, to keep them healthy. And in order to do that, you will probably need to pay for a product and or service in order to make that happen. So, healthcare is a personal responsibility and a product or service, not a right and not a privilege. If you can afford $1,000 telephone that you keep in your pocket and purse, upon which you create tweets like the one we are talking about here, you can afford healthcare. How? By not buying that expensive phone, for one thing. by not buying the expensive laptop that you break open at your favorite coffee place. For another thing, by buying something besides the latest in fashion. For another thing, by living someplace that doesn't cost as much. For another thing, you are privileged, you are spoiled, you are pampered, and you are a brat. And you point your fingers at everyone who rubs you the wrong way and blame them for all of your problems. And that is progressivism in a nutshell. More after the break, when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. And yeah, I just took a bite of my snack bar. Excuse me. Brain somewhere else entirely. Oh, man. Hey, am I the only one who's given themselves a quarantine haircut? I used to cut my own hair decades ago. I cut it all the time. And the reason back then was my wife and I were very young and very broke. and haircuts, it didn't matter. Haircuts were expensive. And so we would budget that money for her. She'd get her hair done. Right? That would be fine. But for me, I mean, bathroom mirror, pair of scissors, here we go. And because I have very wavy, curly hair, and it hides a multitude of sins. If you get things wrong, it's all curling up anyway, right? So it all just kind of curls up again around your head, and so it's fairly easy to do a haircut that way. You just have to get over that first step and do it. And so the other day, when all of this when it's becoming more and more obvious that the politicians, the geniuses in politics have decided that we're going to have to stay confined. And even if we can go to the grocery store and we can go to Lowe's and Home Depot and we can go to Walmart and Target and places like that, we can't get our hair cut. So it's going to, who knows how long it's going to be before the sanity breaks through and we can get that done. I started shopping for clippers, and by the way, if you've never shopped for them, oh, they're expensive. It's just crazy how much they want for it. The cheapest I could find that I felt were a dependable, recognized brand that would probably work the first time and then for years to come, were, by the time I got through with everything, with the clipper, which didn't come with an assortment. It didn't come with an assortment of the combs. You know, the length combs and all that stuff. I put a set of combs in the shopping cart, and it was like $165, and then shipping on top of that. It was just insane. And then I found out my mom, who used to cut my stepdad's hair back before he passed away. He had Alzheimer's, and when the dementia finally was bad enough, she couldn't. You know, they couldn't go and get his hair cut because just. When you're suffering from something like that, you may be in the moment from time to time, but you're not in the moment all the time. And you can realize all of a sudden somebody's got their hands on your head and it starts wigging you out, and you might get part of a haircut done, but not all of it, because it's freaking you out because you don't know what's going on. So she happened to have a set, and I grabbed them from her on Sunday. And put them to work Sunday afternoon in stage one. And then I've been kind of touching it up a little bit along the way. Even earlier this morning, standing in front of the bathroom mirror going, wow, that's really long there. How did I let that stay that long? And just running my fingers through my hair saying, ooh, I missed that. Oh, my gosh, I missed that. And it's going to be a process I think is going to be ongoing for a little while. It was that way back when I used to cut my own hair years ago anyway, because I'd cut my hair and be proud of it that day, and then The next day I take a shower and I'd be standing in front of the mirror. I run my hands through my hair and go, ooh, wow, that's not good. But yeah, so I did that. And I was inspired to do that, honestly, because one of the guys that has been part of the webinar recordings we've been doing over at the Dawson Now Studios, he cut his own hair. And it really, I mean, he doesn't need to go pay anybody anymore. He did a great job. It looks great. And so I thought, wow, if Taylor can do that, then I can do that, because, geez. So that's when I started shopping, you know, looking for the clippers. And then I started watching videos to make sure that I had my head wrapped around the process using clippers, because I always used scissors before. And it's not a complex process. It really isn't. You just have to watch the videos, pay attention, do what they say, and you'll be in pretty decent shape. But I got to tell you, I am looking forward to the day I can go see Emily, the girl that cuts my hair, and let her run her sweet fingers through my hair and cut it the way it's supposed to be, because she'll be back there standing behind me, shaking her head, clucking her tongue. Mm-mm-mm. This is terrible. Yes, I know. I did it myself. I'm proud of it. Oh, so, hey, let me know. Have you done this? Have you done this to yourself? Have you done the COVID-19 quarantine haircut like me? Because honestly, why not? Okay, here's my rationale. I thought, I can cut my hair and it's either going to look good or I'm going to be wearing baseball caps. And I wear baseball caps all the time. So biggie, no biggie, right? So why not? Go ahead. Who knows how long we're going to be here? Because the politicians, of course, they're smarter than everybody else. According to The Blaze, Professor Michael Levitt, who teaches structural biology at the Stanford School of Medicine, he won the 2013 Nobel Prize in Chemistry for the development of multi-scale models for complex chemical systems. That guy. According to Levitt, coronavirus data shows that sweeping lockdown measures were an overreaction. An overreaction that may actually backfire. Levitt has been analyzing the COVID-19 outbreak from a statistical perspective since January, and he's been remarkably accurate in his predictions. The data show that the outbreak never actually grew exponentially, suggesting harsh lockdown measures, which have drastically impacted the world economy, probably weren't necessary. According to the site Unheard, his observation is a simple one, that in outbreak after outbreak of this disease, a similar mathematical pattern is observable, regardless of government interventions. After a two-week exponential growth of cases and subsequently deaths, some kind of break kicks in, and growth starts slowing down. The curve quickly becomes sub-exponential. In other words, it's not one person infecting two infecting four infecting eight, and it growing exponentially. It just doesn't work that way. This may seem like a technical distinction, but its implications are profound. The unmitigated scenarios modeled by, among others, Imperial College in England, and which tilted governments across the world into drastic action, relied on a presumption of continued exponential growth. That showed a very quick infection of the majority of a population. Huge numbers of deaths. But Professor Levitt's point is that hasn't actually happened anywhere, even in countries that have been relatively lax in their responses. Instead of strict lockdown orders, Levitt told Unheard that developing herd immunity is a better strategy to fighting viruses like COVID-19. Quote, I think the policy of herd immunity is the right policy. I think Britain was on exactly the right track before they were fed wrong numbers, and they made a huge mistake. I see the standout winners as Germany and Sweden. They didn't practice too much lockdown, and they got enough people sick to get some herd immunity. I see the standout losers as countries like Australia, and Israel that had very strict lockdown but didn't have many cases. They have damaged their economies, caused massive social damage, damaged the educational year of their children, but not obtained any herd immunity. There is no doubt in my mind that when we come to look back on this, the damage done by lockdown will exceed any saving of lives by a huge factor. That goes right along with what a lot of other people are saying, that those at risk should be protected. Who are those at risk? The elderly, those with comorbidity factors, people who would be adversely affected, and we know from seeing what we've seen. Those are the people to be protected. Put them in masks, keep them out of public places, limit their exposure or completely eliminate their exposure, and protect them until such a time as we actually have a solid idea on what treatments actually work to protect them. And then the rest of us, as I said previously in the previous segment in my response to that meme, the rest of us with better immune systems can get out there, build the herd immunity, and restart our economy. And that's what we need to be doing. That's just my humble opinion. I'm not an expert. I just play one on this podcast. But that's the way I see it. But what's really happening is that people in government are flexing their muscles and feeling their power. And that's never, never a good thing. And I mean never. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but in the last day or so, there have been reports coming up that they're saying that we could see another wave and many more people could die. This is just me thinking out loud here, just spitballing. But I think that's happening as a just-in-case measure. So they can say, yeah, we kind of saw this coming, or, hey, it didn't turn out so bad. Welcome back to the future. It is the Daily Perspective Podcast. It is the Tuesday edition. A little housekeeping. No podcast tomorrow. I told you about this yesterday. I have studio work elsewhere and will not be in this studio tomorrow morning. And during the day yesterday, I got another update, and scheduling for Thursday has changed. So now I have to be in studio Thursday morning and will not be able to be here to do the Thursday edition of the podcast. So no podcasts for Wednesday and Thursday this week, but I'll be back on Friday morning unless something else happens that I'm not aware of right now. But I'm sure you'll survive without me. Ah, man. It's funny. I was mentioning earlier that they're starting to make noises about possible increases in the cases and deaths over the summer. I think it's interesting because everything that we have seen so far indicates this is dying out a lot like the flu does every year. It hits us for a certain amount of time and then it falls off. And with the warmer months, the virus itself has a lot of trouble, not only reproducing and spreading, but just surviving at all. And this is COVID-19 is much the same in that respect. And we're seeing things happen now where they're starting to claim we may see more. And just my gut tells me that this is the quote experts, end quote, hedging their bets. And as I said before the break, I just think it's them hedging their bets. And of course the left is saying things like, oh, there's been another huge leak from the White House, and this one's colossal. The New York Times obtained a document suggesting the administration has misrepresented the numbers of American deaths expected from this pandemic by pushing an artificially low estimate for close to a month. I think that's very interesting because in the beginning they were saying we could have a couple of million people die. And then when they started seeing that the models that had been used were deeply faulty, that the predictions were way, way, way off, they rolled that back to more realistic levels. But now the New York Times, which, oh, we can trust them for accurate reporting, can't we? They're the people who keep coming out with things from sources inside the White House, telling us things that turn out not to be true. And so you're going to see today, if you haven't already, you're going to see this thing being passed around by your liberal friends, who says that the White House is keeping secrets from America and that hundreds of thousands of people are going to die. And I encourage you to keep in mind that this kind of propaganda is exactly what the leftists, the liberals, want. They want everybody to be afraid, and they want everybody to put their trust in government. And we have learned from painful experience over the previous 8 years of presidential administration that putting trust in government is probably the last thing you want to do. In fact, the founders of our nation set forth a framework which made sure that the people didn't trust their government. That's why we have a Second Amendment. The Second Amendment protects the First Amendment, because without the First Amendment, we can't redress what government does. Without that protection, we are subjects, not citizens. And people on the left want to place their trust in the parental skills of government. And that's a huge mistake. We've seen that mistake play out again and again and again throughout the course of history. So we need to be very, very careful. When you see this come around, I encourage you to do a little research and find out how many times the New York Times has been wrong and how many times the New York Times has both misrepresented something they've gotten from an inside source at the White House and how many times they've just flat out lied. Because they have. Because Orange Man bad. They're not the press we need. They are political activists. And as such, they are fake news. And when they lie to the American people, they are the enemy of the American people. Because the American people, as I said yesterday, need the truth in order to make decisions. And fascists don't want you to have the truth. Remember yesterday I mentioned something about somewhere, I could not remember where it was, but some mayor had said they wanted the names and information about people who attended church services. Kansas City, Missouri. Churches in Kansas City, Missouri that reopen for in-person services are required to make a list of everyone who attends. And that's according to new city rules that were denounced by Matt Staver, the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. In-person religious gatherings, including weddings and funerals, may resume subject to the 10-10-10 rule if held inside or limited to 50 people outside, provided social distancing precautions are followed and event organizers maintain records of all attendees, according to the city's website. The 10-10-10 rule specifies that these businesses must limit the number of individuals on site, including employees and customers, together, to no more than 10% of building occupancy or 10 people, whichever is larger, and record the names, contact information, and approximate entry and exit time of all customers who are on the premises for more than 10 minutes. That's what their site says. It also addresses the issue of taking attendance, saying one of the primary means for transmission of COVID-19 is in-person interactions that last more than a few minutes. By recording customer names, businesses will enable the Kansas City Health Department to more quickly trace, test, and isolate individuals who may have been exposed to COVID-19 if an employee or customer had the virus at the time they frequented the business. All data obtained by the Department of Public Health will remain confidential and will be used only to address public health concerns and contact individuals who may have been exposed to COVID-19, so says the site. Now, I'm going to break from the story for a moment at this point, just because I know the nature of progressive government, and the progressive government never lets this kind of information go to waste. We're already seeing in California where they will arrest you for sitting on a park bench in public without a mask or being on the wrong beach at the wrong time. They will arrest you for being on a surfboard, one of those stand-up paddleboard things with a paddle, hundreds of feet away from anybody else out in the water by yourself. They will send boats out and they will arrest you and haul you off. This is the kind of government that comes from progressives. If you allow them to take names and addresses for showing up someplace to purchase an item or to visit someone or to go to a funeral or to attend a service, then you're allowing them to do, honestly, what fascist governments around the world have done when they seek ultimate control of their people. Moving forward, the site states that any group breaking the rules will be punished. Quote, violations of any provision of this order constitutes an imminent threat, creates an immediate menace to public health, and shall be considered a violation of Section 50-155 of the city's Code of Ordinances. Mr. Staver, who's a religious rights advocate, erupted at the new rules in a post on Liberty Counsel's website. He says, I'm running out of adjectives to describe how completely insane the tyrannical abuses launched by state governors and local officials against pastors and churches are becoming. It is as if these leaders never bothered to so much as glance at the Constitution they swore to uphold and defend. They seem to be governing from some make-believe dystopian viewpoint. The Germans did this very thing to the Jews, collecting the names and locations of all known synagogue attendees in the early days of the Nazi regime. Never in our wildest dreams could we have imagined Nazi-like measures designed to surveil, track, and spy upon what was once a free American people. Yet that is exactly what Kansas City's misguided government officials are now demanding. The new rule was also denounced by radio station owner Rich Bott, according to Metro Voice News. Bott says, this is outrageous on the part of the Kansas City municipal government officials. They're treating churches the same as businesses for COVID contact tracing purposes. This is a massive overreach violating the sanctity of churches and the privacy of their attendees. This must not go unchallenged. Morgan Sade, the director of communications for Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas, said churches don't need to share their lists automatically. He says, we're not asking the churches provide a list immediately to the city. Churches keep the list in only if a member tests positive, and that member attended a church function, would the church provide a list to the city. Really? Staver said at the time of COVID-19 restrictions, that the time of these restrictions has been a time of encroachment upon the liberties of Americans. He says, every day that passes during the COVID-19 panic seems to bring a new list of illegal and unconstitutional mandates issued by state and local politicians intent on ignoring their state laws, the U.S. Constitution, and the Department of Justice. Even the announcement that that U.S. Attorney General William Barr will investigate and prosecute constitutional abuses has failed to stop the unbelievable overreach by these tyrannical officials, he writes. He goes on to say, our president, Donald Trump, is doing his level best to bring the country out of the overhyped, media-driven COVID panic. But some congressional and state-level officials, led by Democrats, seem to be doing everything they can to thwart not only a recovery, but also the very foundations of our republic. Yeah, he's hot and bothered, but he's not wrong. We're watching, as I said, politicians flexing their political muscle. They're feeling a little bit of power, and they're stepping up and seeing how far they can push that power. They're ignoring the fact that we do have certain rights protected by our Constitution. A constitution that many times says Congress shall not, because the Constitution protects us from them. This is the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there. I'm Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host. Behind the wheel of the crazy bus. Well, the bus isn't crazy. The driver may be. Hoping you're having a great Tuesday. Have you seen... I know you probably have, because you're paying attention to things. If you're listening to this, you're paying attention to things. Lisa Bloom, the attorney Lisa Bloom, Gloria Allred's daughter, her response to Tara Reid and her accusations or allegations against Joe Biden. In a nutshell, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but in a nutshell, she says, I believe you. And I stand behind you. But I can't let Donald Trump win, so I'm voting for Joe Biden. And I'm going to support him. What happened to Me Too? What happened to the Me Too movement? What happened to Believe All Women? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. It became inconvenient. It doesn't suit the end desire, the desired results. And so it has to be chunked to the side. It can't be followed because it's situational. And situational ethics are a cornerstone of progressivism. Go check it out. She's not supporting Tara Reid's position because she's got to destroy Donald Trump. And she's standing behind Joe Biden in order to do it. I more and more am beginning to believe that the people, those who were saying that they're going to try to replace Joe Biden, they're probably wrong. I'm seeing more and more of this blind devotion, this blind adherence, this support of Joe Biden, regardless, because they believe he's going to defeat Trump. And when they say this, wow, I tell you, all of my little red lights start flashing, because that what that says to me is the same thing that all of the people saying that Hillary Clinton was a lock to beat Donald Trump in 2016, what that said to me, that they all believe the fix is in. They believe that they have rigged everything so that Joe Biden can't be beaten. Why else would they be standing behind him? Why else would they believe he can beat Donald Trump? Why else? Well, in New York City, the place hit hardest by COVID-19 here in the U.S., they haven't been catching a whole lot of breaks lately. But it finally got a break over the weekend. Warm weather. Saturday got into the 70s. That's the warmest day in the city since March 20th, according to the New York Post. And that means a lot of New Yorkers headed outdoors, went for walks, played sports, gathered at the parks. More than 1,000 New York City police officers were right there with them, making sure they abided by social distancing, the rules, according to the New York Post. And the sight of the NYPD didn't sit too well with a lot of folks. One 36-year-old told the New York Post as she was taking in the sunshine at Staten Island's Clove Lakes Park, it's Orwellian to be watched like this. She also remarked, it's friggin' nuts. She was talking about the influx of patrol cars, park police officers, bike cops, video camera-equipped helmets. It's something like out of 1984. What is this, a military state now? The paper said thousands gathered at Central Park to sunbathe and have picnics, and while few were wearing masks, the groups and individuals kept the required 6 feet away from each other. Malcolm Brown, he's 26, said to the Post, I walk out of my building in Chinatown and I have a cop telling me it's illegal for me not to wear a face mask outside. He said he started to really pay attention. He noticed dozens of police vans everywhere. It's an overwhelming feeling. I understand they're keeping us safe, but do we really want to become China, where they're recording you when you come out of your building? Witnesses noted to the paper that they saw an unusually large law enforcement mobilization at the tiny Silver Lake Park in Staten Island. Two foot patrol officers, a pair of squad cars, an undercover car, one uniformed State Department of Environmental Conservation car. a Parks Department vehicle. At Flushing Meadows Corona Park in Queens, the Post says cops got busy when soccer players created makeshift goals with sneakers. Such an object in an organized game draws too much close contact. One officer told the players, gentlemen, bring it in, break it up. You can kick the ball back and forth, but these goalposts, they have to go, okay? While the group dispersed as requested, one player called out, I mean, we wanted to play. It's nice outside. 56-year-old Carlos Eduardo, he was trying to relax nearby, found it difficult with so many officers around. He said, I don't want to be watched so much. In the house, it's like jail. I don't want to come to the park and feel like I'm in jail. Eduardo added a zinger, saying, we're all going to die of something. The New York Police Department has made 60 arrests, handed out 343 summonses since March 16th related to social distancing issues. NYPD spokeswoman Sergeant Jessica McRory says the public should expect to see social distancing patrol officers on foot, on bikes, and in vehicles, ensuring that social distancing procedures are followed. Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo told the New Yorkers to go for a walk, but respect the social distancing and wear a mask. And he adds that he's told police officers all over the state to enforce the mask executive order. Cuomo also wasn't happy with those who didn't wear masks during protests Friday, while calling for the state to reopen. He says it's reckless, it's irresponsible, and it's not about your life, it's about other people's lives. Wow. Mr. Cuomo, guilt trip much? See, he's trying to put the responsibility for the lives of others on the citizens of New York. And in a way, yes, we should be responsible and wise. But when people are outdoors, and they are, for the most part, social distancing, they are being cautious, putting more pressure on them isn't going to produce the result you hope. In fact, it's going to have the exact opposite result. Because people, free people, people who are accustomed to their freedom, accustomed to their liberty, will take a little bit of governmental silliness from time to time. But not for long. They will eventually step up and fight back. And we're beginning to see that across the country, with people showing up at state houses, at the residences of mayors and governors, and protesting. And they're protesting these progressive politicians who are restricting their liberty. Because we're accustomed to being free to make our own decisions. We're accustomed to being adults and being treated like adults. But something progressive politicians do is they treat you like children. Remember what I talked about yesterday, the Chicago mayor who essentially said, don't make me send the police down there. It's like your mom, when you and your siblings are having an argument in the backseat of the car on the vacation trip, and she finally has enough and says, don't make me come back there. It's really not a laughing matter. But when you see it from that perspective, you see how ludicrous it is. You see how ridiculous it is. And then you recognize the fact that these people, for some reason, believe they have to be mommy and daddy because we're too stupid to take care of ourselves. It's so hard to trust anybody in government today because they keep breaking our trust. They keep telling us things that aren't so. They keep flexing their muscles to prove that they're an authority and we're not. So let me encourage you to do something. And that is, regardless of where you may live in our great country, take notes. Don't forget. Remember the people who are flexing their political muscle. And when it comes time for them to run for re-election, don't forget what they did. Remember how they treated you. Remember how they ignored your constitutional rights. Remember how they wrapped it all in health and safety and tried to sell it to you when that wasn't the case at all. And remember, no podcast tomorrow or the next day, but I'll be back Friday. We'll see you then. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.